Episode 170, Top 5 Things I'm Nostalgic For.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and we are back.
Back, and it sounds like we're just going to do an episode about what you're nostalgic for. we should have made the title something like weird, but whatever.
Yeah, but we're not nostalgic for the same thing.
No, that's true. Yeah. So we're going to do 3 top fives tonight. 1, top 5 things I'm nostalgic for that hold up. Number 2, top 5 things I'm nostalgic for that don't hold up. And number 3, top 5 things I'm nostalgic for that might actually suck, but I haven't watched in a long time.
Yeah.
So all
sorts of stuff.
So let's save the best for last. Let's do the don't hold up, and then the medium, like maybe, and then the this.
I like that idea.
All right.
That is how I have my notes arranged.
Well, I'm going to hit the million topic music, and then it's up to you to hit the count. No, I'll hit the countdown music because you only have the version with your own voice.
That's true.
1 second.
Nothing wrong with that.
I love this music.
It's pretty great music.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Countdown.
On the Sci-Fi Christian.
Featuring Ben DiBono.
And Matt Anderson. Ben, number 5.
Number 5. I suppose I should pull my
for
list
top
back
5 things you're nostalgic for that do not hold up.
That do not hold up. That suck. Are we allowed to say that? I think we're
allowed. Yeah,
that's not a PG-13 word. PG word, even. Well, I'm going to start out by making Daniel Butcher a little sad. Disney World. Disney World sucks. It really does.
Oh, my gosh. Why are you saying this?
Oh, it's the worst. Have you ever been to Disney World?
Yeah, as a kid.
No. Yeah, so I was as a kid, and then I've been as an adult, and I can tell you that it's not fun.
Wow, this is crazy that you're saying this. Why do you feel that way? What happened as an adult to you?
It's nothing that happened.
Catholic.
Yeah.
No, do Catholics, Catholics like Disney World?
Well, we're taking the kids in September.
Wait, so, is that why it's on your mind?
Yeah.
Oh, you're already, you're just dreading it right now.
I am. It's so many people, and the lines are long, and, okay, so when you're a kid, do you remember the Peter Pan ride?
I don't remember. I'm sorry. I was there a long time ago, in the late 80s. Well,
I was there when I was a kid, and I remember the Peter Pan ride.
Sorry. I went to Disneyland.
Yeah, so you, get in the Peter Pan ride, and you're, in this little car, and it takes you around, and you see different, animatronic scenes.
I like Disney. I want to go. I had a good time at Disneyland, 7 years ago.
Okay, well, that sucks. And it's, as a kid, you're like, well, I'm in the movie, and as an adult, you're like, well, this is lame, and we just paid how many thousands of dollars to come and do this?
Oh.
And it's just, there's nothing, there's a couple of rides that are kind of fun. I mean, I like the Haunted Mansion, but I probably won't even be able to go on that because I got kids and, the Star Wars ride that's okay. But, which I told Annie that's the one thing I insist on doing is because they have a new Star Wars ride
Star
at Disney
Tours.
World. Yes. They have they've replaced it with a new Star Tour.
Yeah, last year, I think.
I said, that's the only thing I want to do.
Yeah.
We can do whatever you guys want the rest of the trip. I am going on the new Star Tours.
This might only apply to Disneyland, but I bet it applies to Disney World as well. Did you know that in Haunted Mansion, which you just mentioned, there are actual dead people?
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, it's a little bit fabricated in the sense that it's not dead bodies. It's not dead bodies. It's people will try to sneak the ashes of their dead family members into the ride and then dump them in there.
It's a little messed up.
Yeah.
Do you think Daniel Butcher will be there someday?
I don't think so.
Mason and Molly, his children, will sneak in the ashes and dump them out.
I don't know. I'm not sure if they put him there in Haunted Mansion. Yeah. I don't think that's his favorite. They put him on Star Tours, maybe.
Right. But it's even a ride like the Pirates of the Caribbean. It's okay, that was kind of interesting. It was okay, but it's not worth it.
I went on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride in Disneyland after Pirates of the Caribbean movie had become popular, and they were replaced. Yeah, they added a lot of Johnny Depp statues along the way, or animatronics.
Good. Yeah. So I just don't see, unless if you're a kid, it's great because it's immersive and exciting. If you're an adult, it's well, this is not that great. And I get to stand in really long lines surrounded by crabby people all day, and everything's way overpriced, and I am miserable.
Wow.
So,
I'm sorry.
The Disney World. Not good, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Now, before you ask me for my number five, I wanted to give a little bit of a disclaimer to our audience. There is a lot of things. We've talked about our childhood and things that we liked as a child, as children a lot.
Yeah.
So I think both you and I came at this with a similar strategy where we left off certain things for the sake of creating new conversation. There's a few things that have to be on here.
I just crammed a bunch of things into one entry.
Oh, really? Yeah, I have runners up, basically, just so I can mention them, but I don't have to talk about them in detail. But ask me number five.
Number five.
But when it comes to number five, I wanted to bring this up because I just love it when you respond to this thing.
Okay.
My number five thing that I'm nostalgic for that doesn't hold up, but I'm still excited that they're about to make a live-action movie, Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I know it doesn't hold up, but
there's, like, not holding up, and then this is the biggest turd ever put on screen.
But I know that this subject, or, you know, this category of nostalgic for, I know it applies to me, because last week I said I'm looking forward to the live-action movie.
Yeah, that boggles my mind.
I know. I shouldn't. I understand that I shouldn't, but it captivated me as a child, and here I am, stuck. Still liking it. And this is something...
Yeah, that's messed up.
I want to talk about this a little bit later, but I don't understand how that's so powerful, that sense of you loved it as a kid and you just can't stop loving it. Not just Captain Planet, but let's talk about that more towards the end. So
see, I can understand I loved it as a kid and I still love it even though I consciously know it sucks.
I know it sucks.
But why would you then want them to make a movie?
I don't know. It's oversaturation.
Are your memories enough?
It's oversaturation. You just kind of want more and more.
This is terrible. It's such a terrible commentary on our world.
I know. I can't stop. I don't know what to do. Number four.
Number four, the movie Batman Forever.
Oh, this was your favorite as a kid.
I loved it. I wasn't allowed to see PG-13 movies very often, and then we were finally allowed to see a Batman movie, and I hadn't gotten to see either of the other two Batman movies, and so I can remember like being so excited about this, and I saw it in the theaters like four or five times, and I just loved it.
You saw this four times?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw it many times, and I was crazy about this movie, and it does not hold up. Is it as bad as Batman and Robin? No. Not even close. Is it good? Nope. It really, really sucks.
I didn't put the Batman movies from this era on my list. Something weird happened to me, I think. Like, okay, 1989, yeah. When the first Batman came out, I was 7. I saw it in the theater. My mom brought me to see it the theater. And even though I didn't understand everything that was happening when it comes to more of the adult references, it kind of just gave me a creepy feeling. So now, in the same way that we're kind of attached to happy feelings when it comes to, like, Captain Planet, like for example. I know that Batman is a good movie by Tim Burton, but it still makes me feel creepy because as a youngster, it just kind of threw me off. Like, I should not have viewed it as that young of a child.
See, I don't think the first Batman movie holds up. I just didn't see it early enough to be really nostalgic for it. I think a lot of it holds up, but, I mean, you have a scene where the Joker's dancing around to a Prince song.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
And I kind of hate Prince because of that movie, because I associate that, like, that bad music with the villain. Yeah. Batman kind of messed me up, so I didn't put it – I'm not nostalgic for it at all. It makes me feel creepy. Kind of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to see that. I still never seen it.
That's another one. That came out in 1988. I was six. No. Yeah, six. And – wait, that's yeah, and so I that has kind of kid humor, but also definite adult humor.
Yeah,
but they're trying to mix together because there's cartoons and whatnot. But yeah, that one creeped me out also. So now when I think about that movie, it kind of just leaves me with a creepy feeling. Batman, Roger Rabbit, I'm creeped out by them.
What about do all the early Batman movies leave you feeling? Or
just the first one.
Yeah,
and the second one I think is disgusting because Danny DeVito eats a fish. Raw.
And I think the second one's the best out of the original four.
But disgusting. And really weird. Christopher Walken stuff.
Yeah. I'd go watch that one again.
Okay. So I saw Batman Forever in the drive-in movie theater.
Yeah.
And then a couple times later on video. I don't remember loving it, but I don't remember hating it. I think it's mediocre at best.
Did you get rid of your Batman?
Yeah, I got rid of him.
Okay, that's right. Number four for you, sir.
Oh, okay. Let me get my list. Number four for me is another cartoon from my childhood. This one used to be on in the morning before I was at my daycare, and they would just have us watching TV at the daycare. Then we'd get on our bus and go to school, and so I'd watch this every morning. James Bond Jr.
What? Have you heard of? Even know there was a James Bond Jr.
Yeah, James Bond Jr. Is, let's see here. So I didn't know this until I was doing research today, but it was actually a character. He's a nephew of James Bond, so he's not the son. Originally created by Ian Fleming, so this from the original books. First used in 1967 for some spinoff novels. But yeah, when I was a kid, let me see if I have the. Yep, 91. Looks like 1991, it became an American animated series, 65 episodes.
That's kind of depressing that they would do a children's version of James Bond, because what are the three things James Bond does?
Kill,
drink, and have sex with women. And that's like the premise of every James Bond movie, is just mixing those three things together. And so, yeah, that really lends itself to a nice kids series. Messed up.
Yeah, and they had some of the original bad guys from, but they made them way more weird. Like Dr. No in the first James Bond movie is just a regular looking human. But here, take a look at this picture. This is Dr. No from the animated series.
Oh my gosh.
Green skin, long hair, super stereotypical, like Asian looking.
Most Asians don't have green skin.
That's true. I mean, like, I'm talking about like the samurai mustache.
Yeah.
And the,
it's like if you dyed an Asian green, that would
and
be.
And this, like, they have to, if they're like bad guy Asian characters, they have to have some sort of dragon symbol on them, which this guy has.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm just looking at the list of villains. There's Oddjob, who we know. There's not Goldfinger, but Goldiefinger, a female bad guy. And then there's a guy named Spoiler.
Oh my gosh.
Would be my arch nemesis.
Yeah.
Spoiler, let's see who he is. A gravel-voiced scum agent who leads... So scum is an abbreviation for something. He leads a band of savage, chain-wielding motorcyclists, allowing quick getaways from crime scenes.
Oh, my.
Spoiler. So, James Bond Jr. So, this... I'm kind of nostalgic for this, but I... Obviously, I'm showing you pictures from it. It clearly doesn't hold up. I just remember... I just have happy feelings of before going to school, just chilling and watching a little... James Bond Jr. action.
Yeah. Help teach you racism and everything.
There it is. Number three, Ben.
Terry Brooks novels. You've read a little Terry Brooks.
You've talked about this.
Yeah.
No, I bought one and you told me it sucked, and so I just never read it.
Yeah, it does suck.
I trusted you. And it's a huge series, and so I figured if it's already bad, I don't want to get into this.
Exactly. So I read the first one, The Sword of Shannara, when I was like 12 or 11 or something like that, and I thought it was the greatest thing of all time, you know, and so I loved it and I ate them all up. And several years later they came out with an anthology, and I was probably, I don't know, 19, 20 at the time or whatever. And so they came out with an anthology of the first series or the first trilogy, and it was in hardcover, and Terry Brooks was in town, and so I went and I bought it and I got it signed and everything. I still have it because it's autographed. I didn't want to get rid of autographed stuff. And I was so excited to go back, and I was going to reread Sword of Shannara for the first time, and it sucked so bad. And this is 7 years ago when my standards were not nearly as high as they are now. So I will not ever read it again because I want to preserve the memory.
Yeah.
And this is kind of my point with the Captain Planet thing. It's like, why would you want more? Because if you watch this movie, you're going to realize it sucks in a way that you don't right now. Whereas, like, for me, I just want to stay far, far away from Terry Brooks because I have these fond memories, and the more that I read of his stuff, the more tainted they're going to be.
I need to bring up something now, and it's a little bit of ruining part of my list later, but I think that you might be right in the sense of...
Spoiler alert.
I'm going to mention the Ninja Turtles later tonight.
Yeah.
And in recent casting news we've been covering for the new movie, it does... It is... Okay, let me think about this. It is adding, like... a little bit of badness to my overall view on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
It's corrupting it a little bit. Because I know that this movie is going to be a mess, and so that's going to reflect on the whole franchise.
Yeah.
So, we'll come back to the Ninja Turtles.
All right, number three.
Number three for me! Another cartoon. I don't think you ever watched this. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
I didn't. I know what it is, but I never watched it.
This one's a pretty old one. 1983 to 1985. So I was obviously watching it in reruns in the early 90s or late 80s. I've seen since then reruns. And so I know that this one doesn't hold up because I've watched them and it's pretty horrible. But for, you know, at the time, it was, you know, a guy who By day, he was a prince, Prince Adam, I think his name was. And he had this powerful sword, and he transformed into He-Man, and he could fight, the villain, Skeletor.
Yeah.
He was awesome. I would actually, again, I'd be kind of into it if they did a He-Man movie.
They did do a live-action movie back in the 80s.
I think they're going to be doing a new one soon. So
that's depressing.
Skeletor, he was awesome. There was She-Ra. Do you remember She-Ra, female version of He-Man?
No.
She was like the Princess of Power.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's another reason why I really like He-Man. Action figures. I'm not going to mention action figures as a category tonight, but it will be a recurring theme in the sense that this was like my main toy. Like, I didn't really like cars or trucks or those kind of things when it came to toys as a child. I was all about action figures. So I had He-Man, I had Skeletor, I had some of the other characters, I had Castle Grayskull. Do you know that?
Yeah, I know that.
I had like the full deal. So, yeah, He-Man was pretty good, but I know it's not good anymore.
No.
But still like it. So, shout out to Prince Adam.
Yeah, go Prince Adam.
Number two.
Number two is something I mentioned to you a month or two ago, and you had never seen it or heard of it. And I was a little dismayed because it's such a part of my childhood that's absolutely awful.
Okay.
The TV series, or I don't know if it was ever on TV or what, but the series Superbook.
Oh, I still I'm forgetting all over again.
Okay, so talk this about, was a Christian series. I'm going to play the opening theme song.
Oh, yeah, the Christian series.
And I'll pause it throughout and describe what's happening because it's disturbing. So we're zooming in on a house.
Okay, let me see.
Chris and Joy. Okay, so there we have two boys and a fat robot who you can't see his chest, but he has a cross on his chest.
Okay.
And they're sitting at the computer.
Okay, I'm watching.
Everyone, we're having lots of fun. Superbook fell off a shelf. Look what they've done.
Okay, a Bible has just fallen onto a keyboard.
But they're calling it the Superbook.
Yeah. Okay. But it's a Bible.
You're sure?
I'm sure. And it has fallen onto the keyboard, and they're all very worried.
Yeah.
We didn't hit the computer. Oh, they were surprised. Superbook got programmed in. Now it's computerized.
Pause it.
Okay,
so in case you weren't following, then now it's computerized. When the book hits the keyboard, it somehow digitalizes the Bible. For them at this time, it must have been like, that would be amazing. We need to get the Bible on the computer.
Oh, it gets better than that.
Okay.
I mean, but let's make this clear. The entire Bible was programmed into a computer merely by falling onto a keyboard. That's the premise of this series.
So it did glow magically, to be fair.
It did. Okay, now describe what just happened. Describe what just happened.
Their pet dog just jumped on top of the Superbook, which is the Bible,
which is still on the
keyboard. And then the dog was digitalized and put into the keyboard screen.
Yeah, the dog was sucked into the computer. So right now, watching this as an adult, I'm thinking demonic possession. I mean, that's the only explanation for what's taking place.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, no. Okay, the computer just sucked all of them, the three kids and the robot, into the computer monitor.
Yeah. My favorite part of that sequence you just watched was when the boy picks up the Bible. He's like terrified of it. What is this? So kind of going through the wormhole.
This kind of looks like an anime.
Yeah, it is. It's Japanese style.
Wait. Okay, so now some adults? Were those adults?
No, those were the kids again.
Other kids came up to the computer.
No, same kids.
But they're inside the computer right now.
Well, it's...
The cutting scenes?
The continuity's a little off here. So, yeah, they get sucked into the computer, but then I guess they sometimes get returned at the end of episodes.
Wait, so every episode is about them going into the computer and exploring the Bible?
Yes.
So that's all. So then you can learn about Bible stories?
Yeah.
Copyright 1984.
Oh, Christian Broadcasting Network.
There is a book that we all know. It's called Superbook.
No, it's not. Oh, there's little Moses action. Superbook. And there's the Bible glowing on the keyboard, and that's the end.
That might scare me if I was a child.
So it gets better because the boy's father, so they're not brothers, they're like neighbors or whatever. So the boy's father is named, no joke, Professor Peeper, okay. As though you couldn't get any creepier in this series. So, okay. The premise is, okay, so the Bible has been dropped onto this keyboard, which has somehow digitized it, which has somehow allowed the children to get sucked into the Bible, making it a very terrifying experience, really. So every episode, they get sucked into the Bible, like literally sucked into the Bible, and they then prance around in some Bible story for a while, and then they're eventually returned to Professor Peeper and the gang.
Wow. Have you watched any episodes recently?
I haven't. They're all on YouTube. But apparently it's been remade within the last 10 years as a CGI show. But you got to go back and watch the Japanese-style
anime.
Yeah, it's completely anime. It's the trippiest, creepiest thing you've ever seen. Oh, and wow. I watched this all the time as a kid.
Did it mess you up?
Probably.
Yeah. There's a book. It's called Superbook.
There's a book we all know. It's not even true.
Why don't they call? They should have a Superbook Bible. Like the Superbook study Bible.
No, I must be remembering it wrong, because before I went back and watched this, I didn't remember the computer part. I thought what happened was that they opened the Bible and like touched the picture and got sucked in that way.
Probably didn't know what computers were when you were a little kid.
I guess not, but it's great because they're all so terrified when the Bible drops.
Yeah.
But let me just say, if you drop the Bible, or any other book for that matter, onto your keyboard and everything starts to glow,
get away.
Yeah, get away. I mean, they're lucky they didn't drop Professor Peeper's copy of The Exorcist onto the keyboard. That could have been really bad.
That would actually be an interesting movie if it wasn't about the book, but it was about the magic keyboard.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be a TV show. If anybody wants to steal this idea, I'm leaving it up to you. Go ahead. Here's a way to get kids into old literature, like books that are in public domain. Make a magic computer.
Live action Superbook, yeah.
No, it doesn't have to be live action. It still could be a cartoon.
Oh, okay.
So you make a magic computer. Any book that touches it, you can go inside the book and explore it.
See, I don't think the computer was magic so much as they just had no clue how programming actually works.
Back then?
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, what if we make this computer, but we make it desktop size?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So go check out Superbook. It does not hold up. It's creepy and terrifying, but you'll have a good time watching it for all the wrong reasons.
Nice.
Number two.
All right. This one I'm actually sad about. So now that we're a few of these, I've liked them as a kid, but I didn't have a strong attachment. This one, I really want this to still be good, and it's just not good anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a brief description. I want you to try to guess what this is. It's a movie.
Back to the Future 3.
Listen, it was developed in 1976.
Nope, not Back to the Future
and,
3.
And the person that came up with the idea for this movie came up with it after being fascinated by the early video game Pong.
Oh, Tron?
Tron, correct. Yeah. Tron. I love this movie. And I might have mentioned this before, but my daycare that I mentioned earlier, they would bring us to the library a lot. So in a past episode, I think I told you that I saw New Hope for the first time at a library. Does that ring a bell?
It doesn't.
I saw Tron for the first time at a library as well.
Oh, my gosh.
And so just like a daycare field trip, went to the library and watched a movie.
How about that?
So I loved Tron so much. I mean, it came out in 1982, so I didn't see it for years after it had actually been out. But, yeah, the idea of, entering, just like Superbook, entering this digitized world was, fascinating to me. But I think it's telling that it's based on Pong.
Yeah.
And Pong doesn't really hold up. And
there's not a lot of plot in Pong.
Yeah, and Tron doesn't really hold up. I had a lot of people tell me, I was going to watch it before Tron Legacy came out, and multiple people said, don't do it. It's just going to ruin your overall feeling, what you said earlier.
Yeah,
it's
going to
make
it.
You not like Tron as much
exactly.
anymore. So,
though Tron Legacy was nothing to write home about either.
I did like it. I didn't love it, but I liked Tron Legacy.
I only watched half of it and turned it off because it was
so
dumb.
So, yeah, Tron. But you like Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah. Well, that doesn't mean I like Jeff Bridges. I'm not going to go see R.I.P.D.
Me either.
Yeah,
I'm glad that we agreed.
Exactly.
That movie looks horrible.
It does.
Ryan Reynolds just said this week, who's in R.I.P.D., he just said that the Deadpool movie is like the worst relationship he's ever been a part of, because they tell him it's happening, and then they say, well, not quite yet, hold off for a little while, and then it's happening, it's definitely gonna happen, and then, well, we're not sure right now. And this has been going on for years. I don't care if we ever see Deadpool, do you?
No.
The only interesting thing about Deadpool is that he breaks the fourth wall.
Right.
And so I would kind of like to see how they translate that to a Marvel movie. Well, it won't even be a Marvel movie. It'll be a Fox movie, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just don't want to see Ryan Reynolds in it if they do it.
All right, Ben, I'm ready for your number one thing that doesn't hold up.
This is not the worst item on my list, but it is the one with the biggest gap between my nostalgic feelings and its actual quality, which is why it hits number one. For the record, it's better than Superbook, so I don't...
Okay.
So I don't want to be seeming to impugn its legacy too much, but the Wheel of Time series...
Oh, you just finished this.
I did. And, you know, the last book came out and it was 900 pages and I read it like 2 days and stayed up till 3 a.m. and loved every minute of it. And I just had this conscious feeling while I was reading it. This series sucks and I love it. And it's like the one thing where that's the case for me because, yeah. You know, like all these other items on the list, I was at one time nostalgic for them, yeah. And I can say these suck. Definitively, I want nothing to do with them. Wheel of Time, it sucks, and I love it. And it's like my one thing where I go against my principles on.
Yeah.
Now, not everything in it is terrible, but the book is several volumes. The series is several volumes too long. So many of the characters are flat or poorly written. You know, Brandon Sanderson takes over, and he's not a very good writer. You know, he takes over after Robert Jordan dies, and he basically just finishes the series from some notes, and he does a serviceable job, but there's nothing special about this series. Mm-hmm. It's crap. Lots of it is just sheer crap, and it's great. You know, I can't recommend it to anyone. Don't read it. You won't enjoy it. The only reason I enjoy it is because I've invested, like, between this year when the final volume came out, when I first started reading it, I invested, like, 12 years in this.
Well, there's a lot of people in your shoes because that book was super popular, the latest one. When the last book came out, it was one of the highest sellers because a lot of people loved it as a child, grew up, and just had to finish it off.
Right, right. You know, for me... I don't know. I don't really have any desire to go back and reread it because it's just going to – it's not that good and it's not worth my time. But I might, you know, sometimes.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, I don't recommend The Wheel of Time unless you were part of the experience. It's kind of like, you know, a little bit like with Lost or other shows where part of the experience and part of the enjoyment comes from waiting for the next thing and theorizing about it. And
what do you think about that? I was just telling – a friend recently, what show are they watching? Fringe.
Oh,
they're watching Fringe. Oh, and I even tried to say, this
don't
is not that good. But they're watching it and they like season 4. And they like how this is where they kind of like scrap everything that's happened so far and almost start over.
Yeah.
And a little spoiler, but trust me, it's not, I wouldn't get into it. I like Fringe still. I still do kind of like it, but I don't love it. And there was a time when I loved it. And so, anyways, this friend was saying, as they've been watching just episode after episode, it's been an okay viewing. And you said the same thing about Lost Season 3, which most people believe the beginning of Season 3 is the worst section of all of Lost. But you didn't mind it because, you know, it was just a few episodes to get, or, you know, 6-plus episodes to get through, and then it's back on track. So I'm struggling with what is the better viewing experience, straight through on DVD or Netflix or... week after week where you're building anticipation. Because you're right, with the Lost experience for me, I was continually building anticipation and trying to get into the mystery. Lost might be a little bit different, but what in general, what do you think?
I think if you isolate the material alone, it's better viewed as a whole. But the more involved you get with fan culture, I mean, part of the fun that comes from these things is being involved with making the theories and all the discussions. So ironically, I think that makes it worse. That makes the overall product worse because you're so busy thinking of what could it be. And then when you finally get the answer, it's not going to be whatever you thought up. All your theories are going to be wrong in one way or another. So there's a level of disappointment. And occasionally people even come up with better ideas than what the show. I mean, that's the classic case with The Matrix, with between Reloaded and Revolutions. People have all these theories about what's going on at the end of Reloaded. Is it a Matrix within a Matrix? And that's going to be that it was not that great. But if you just watch them back to back, the disappointment wouldn't have been there as much for Revolutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm ready.
Number one.
Number one for me is important. And similar to what you said with Wheel of Time, I'm not sure if this is necessarily really the worst thing on my list, but I wanted to make it number one because it was so central to my childhood. Yeah. My first exposure to superheroes ever was the TV show Super Friends in reruns, because this show came out in 1973, which was 9 years before I was born. But I used to watch a lot of Super Friends, and of course, as a little kid, you love it. And so I still kind of feel like, oh, this might be okay, but bad news.
Yeah.
At a thrift store, my mom, trying to be nice to me, picked me up a set of the DVDs.
No.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good at all. And I did a little research in preparation for this episode, and it turns out Super Friends was doing something kind of weird, like, and you're going to hate this, but like what Power Rangers did.
Oh, my gosh.
Power Rangers, every season, kind of renames itself. Do you know about this? It's Samurai Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah. I listen to Kobe's.
Well, listen to this. This will give you an idea of why another reason Super Friends probably doesn't hold up. Here we go. First set, Super Friends. Then there's a chunk called the all-new Super Friends Hour. Then there's the all-new Super Friends Challenge of the Super Friends. Then there's... more of that. They went back to all new Super Friends. And then there's the world's greatest Super Friends. Then there's just regular Super Friends. Then the best of Super Friends, which they released as if it was new, but it's just reruns. Then they had lost episodes after the cancellation. Then they had Super Friends, the legendary Superpowers show. And finally, Superpowers Team Galactic Guardians.
Oh.
So I like superheroes. Obviously, you all know that. There's 109 total of these Super Friends shows. I know it was important to a lot of you listeners. But it does not hold up.
It does not.
All right. You want to hit...
should we do some runners-up?
So glad you said that.
So my runners-up, the Narnia cartoon, the original cartoon.
Oh, I still have your copy.
I know.
In case you were curious.
I wasn't, because I always know where things are.
Okay. And thank you, St. Anthony.
Yes. And the BBC live action series. That one holds up a little bit more, but neither of them are all that great. They're pretty poor adaptations.
Oh my gosh, I just realized my runner-up is really similar to Superbook.
Oh yeah?
I mentioned this on the show, I think, one other time, so you might not remember. Does this ring a bell? Captain N, the Game Master?
Yes, I know about that.
Okay, I loved this show as a kid. I think I even bought some, I can't remember if there was comics or just a little, I think there was a comic book about it. But basically the idea is this kid from our world is playing video games and he gets sucked into the video game, and then he's, meeting characters that we know from, I can't remember, I think Mega Man is in there.
Yeah.
There's a character whose name is Game Boy.
That's when you know the show's bad.
They take characters from Metroid, from Punch-Out, from Kid Icarus, from Mega Man, from Castlevania. So a lot of those early Nintendo games. So Captain N, N is for Nintendo, and this guy, this little, not little kid, like maybe teenager, gets sucked into the video games. Oh, King Kong is like one of the bad guys. Not King Kong, Donkey Kong. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
The Count from Castlevania. So, yeah, really liked it, but... I don't have as strong of memories for it, so that's why it's a runner-up. Like, I still kind of get excited hearing about it, but runner-up.
Do you have other runners-up?
That was my only one.
I have two others. Superhero comics. Not that good. With some exceptions, but...
Disagree. Sorry.
Oh, come on. You got to admit, we've agreed on this before.
I agree that there are some things that should change. I still enjoy a good superhero comic.
For nostalgic reasons. Like, if you never knew what a superhero was... And you sat down today to read a superhero comic, I bet you'd be like, this storytelling is garbage.
It's interesting to think about that. What if I had never gotten into superheroes as a kid? Like, what would I be into?
Yeah.
Because that's like the main thing I liked as a child.
I know. Yeah.
I might be into sports.
Sports.
Okay, what else?
The Ninja Turtles movies, especially the second one, The Secret of the Ooze, with Vanilla Ice as a guest rapper towards the end.
Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
I remember that song. Yeah, I remember singing that song.
I remember leaving the theater singing that with my friend, and I remember our moms laughing at us and not being ashamed. Just because I was a young kid, and I know you're laughing at me, but whatever. I like the song.
Yeah, those are terrible movies, though. Really bad.
Nice. What else you got?
Oh, that's it.
All right. Well, then, Ben, without further ado, it is time for our next countdown, and we'll do this one.
Whoa,
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Countdown
on the Sci-Fi Christian. All right, Ben, let's do top five things I'm nostalgic for that might actually suck, but I haven't watched in a long time.
Okay. Okay. You want to go first this time?
Yeah.
Number five.
Number five for me are, again, kind of like you were saying, I put a bunch together for this one. This is the Disney after school cartoons, which include DuckTales,
yep.
Tailspin,
yep.
Chippendale Rescue Rangers,
yep.
Gummy Bears, Darkwing Duck.
That was the best.
Okay, so I loved this. Like, this chunk of cartoons are easily, hands down, my favorite cartoons growing up.
Yeah.
Well, until we get to the 92 era of X-Men. But, like, as a more young child, this is more my speed. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Darkwing Duck was the best.
I think I would have probably put, I think I'd rank them like this. DuckTales.
Yeah.
Darkwing Duck.
Is this from best to worst or
best
worst?
To worst.
Okay.
Best to worst. Worst. DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, Tailspin, Chippendale, Gummy Bears.
I never watched Gummy Bears.
Yeah. I get that from people a lot. I think that was one that flew under the radar.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you remember the song?
No.
Oh, well, you never watched it.
I never watched it.
Talk about...
But Duck. Everybody remembers the DuckTales song.
While you talk about DuckTales, I'm going to find the Gummy Bears theme song.
DuckTales. Ooh. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, DuckTales was great. I love Darkwing Duck. And then there's the Goof Troop later on. Did you watch the Goof Troop?
No, I didn't watch Goof Troop, but I'm a little older than
you. Yeah, that must be the 3-year age difference between us.
Because Gummy Bears, I think, is a little older.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try. Oh, here, hold on a second. All right, I got an idea. Well, you're talking about Darkwing Duck. I'm going to wiki Gummy Bears versus DuckTales, because I feel like DuckTales was the flagship.
Oh, yeah, DuckTales.
And so I'm going to see what the year difference is.
They had, like, the Genie movie and everything, too, that was really cool. It did, like, a movie version of it. And
yes, yeah. That was so awesome.
Tailspin was just trippy, because it was like, these are the Jungle Book characters, but they're not in the Jungle Book, and they're flying planes, and
Do you know I own some of these? I own the first season of a lot of these on DVD.
Don't want to see them.
Guess what? The only one I don't own is Darkwing Duck.
Oh my gosh.
Which is probably like the one I should own.
That's the best one. Because, yeah, there was a little crossover action. Because wasn't he like their uncle or something?
Well, he was. There were characters from DuckTales that moved over to
Like Launchpad.
Yeah, Launchpad McQuack.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's see here. I'm still looking. Just keep talking.
Okay.
Gummy Bears came out in 1985.
Wow.
So I must have been watching it in reruns.
Yeah, I guess so.
And DuckTales came out in 1987. So there is a 2-year difference there.
Yeah. Yeah, so Gummy Bears, the original Disney afternoon.
Sounds like it. Yes. Oh, man. All right. So anything else we want to say? I think we talked plenty about Disney.
We just need to go on.
All right. I don't know if this is going to be a clean edit. So,
that sounded a little choppy. There,
I either left it in or the edit was weird. So thanks, Ben.
I'll try and stop myself next time.
Number five for you.
Number five, Jurassic Park.
Wow. This wasn't even on my radar because I picked childhood things. How young were you when this one came out?
I don't know. 6, 7, something like that.
Whoa.
Okay. Was it 91, 92? I was born in 1985, so whenever you do the math.
Okay.
But yeah, I was so excited about it because I remember, I've probably told this story before, but the neighbor kid was like, you're not going to get to see it because it's PG-13. I was allowed to see PG-13.
Yeah, I have heard the story.
And then my parents were like, you can see it. I was so excited. But
now you don't like it.
I didn't know. We don't know if we don't like it list.
The thing you like the most about, though, Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, I'd be willing to rewatch Jurassic Park. Well, maybe we should say with this list, because this is the ones we don't know. Do you think it would hold up or not? I think Jurassic Park would not hold up if I
think
rewatched it.
That DuckTales would. I think Gummy Bears wouldn't. I think Tailspin would. I think Chippendale wouldn't. I think Darkwing Duck would.
Yeah.
You.
I'm just trying not to laugh because I was thinking of Chippendales again.
Okay, nice.
And our little awkward part we had to edit out there.
All right.
Number four for you.
Number four is a TV show that was on PBS. PBS, the public broadcasting station. It was called Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah. I saw this.
Do you remember?
Well, I saw one episode of it, I think.
Aired 1992 to 1995. The premise is an actual ghost haunts children, but in a nice way. Yeah. He helps them solve mysteries.
That's what I'd do if I was a ghost.
And he can only communicate using letters. Like, so you have to write things out, or he takes letters from existing signs or wherever and rearranges the letters to say things. So he can only, he's pretty limited in his communication. Because, like, look at behind us. There's a bag that says Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So he could take those letters and rearrange them, and he'd probably get to be like, I don't know what he'd even be able to say. Like,
Loco Acca.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
which doesn't make any sense. It's not even a word.
So, here's the exact description. The series revolves around a close-knit circle of friends from Brooklyn who solve neighborhood crimes and mysteries as a team of young detectives with the help of an invisible ghost.
You know what they should have done? Wait,
the ghost can communicate with the kids only by manipulating whatever text and letters he can find and using them to form words and sentences.
They should have just, like, had a giant piece of paper where they had a row of A's, a row of B's, all the way to Z. So, like, he had 20 of each letter or whatever. And then he could say whatever he wants.
This thing lasted for 3 seasons. I loved it so much. It was like you felt like you were a part of the team because you could see Ghost Rider, and only people that he wanted to see him could see him.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh,
I remember how I was devastated, not because I love this actor, but I wasn't really familiar with recasting as a kid.
Yeah.
And one of the characters, after season 2, I think for the final season, she was recast as by a different actress.
Oh, no.
I was like, that's not Gabby.
Yeah.
That's not Gabby.
Not Gabby. It's not her.
Okay. Number 2. Nope. Sorry. Number 4.
Number 4. I realized I have 6 items on my list, so I'm going to skip over 4 and go to 4 and just make the original 4 runners up.
That makes sense.
Independence Day.
Oh.
And I think it would suck. Another Jeff Goldblum classic. But we're going to live blog this sometime.
Nice. Independence Day.
Maybe not till September, depending on our schedule. Yeah. But yeah. Sometime.
Good.
Oh, so Independence Day.
I mean, I don't have anything.
I remember going to see this with my dad, and I thought it was so cool. I watched it so many times.
Yeah. I like it, too. I saw it in a theater.
I guarantee you it will not hold up.
In fact, I might have more to say about it on a different list later tonight.
later tonight. Looking forward to it.
All right.
Number 3.
Number 3 for me is a movie I don't think we've ever mentioned on this show.
Wow.
Do you remember? I think it started as an old comic strip in the 1930s and was a movie in 1990. Do you want to try to guess?
Oh, The Shadow?
Dick Tracy.
Oh, yeah. Alec Baldwin, right?
This one had Warren Beatty as the title role. And let me see if Alec Baldwin was in there.
I thought he was in it.
I'm going to check.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't see him here. We had Al Pacino. We had Madonna. We had Dick Van Dyke.
There's no way this holds up.
Dustin Hoffman. Pretty good cast. I don't think it will hold up, but I still, every now and then, I'll see it at like Target and I'll think,
you'll want to buy it.
Yeah, I should pick this up. I used to really like that. He uses advanced technology, like a watch, I think, that's like a phone.
That is advanced.
Well, at the time, that was pretty cool. I don't have a lot to say about it because I haven't seen it.
There's no way that this will hold up if you go and watch it.
I haven't seen it in so long. It's hard for me to speak to it right now, but I just remember I have good feelings about it. So I'd be interested if anybody in the audience has seen this, then let me know if I should watch it or not. Send me an email at matt@thescificristian.com. Number?
Don't do it.
2? What are we on?
Number 3.
Number 3.
Number 3 is a video game that I'm looking forward to playing with you sometime because you have it and I don't.
Yeah.
Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time. This is going to hold up.
I think it will too. But I haven't played it since I was a kid, so I had to put it on this list. But yes, I would be optimistic about this one.
We should do that soon. Let's do it before the wedding.
Okay.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. This one. And then we can do a review of it for the Sci-Fi Christian YouTube page, which you've been doing some awesome stuff with.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I have been doing some awesome stuff for it.
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right. Number 3.
No. Number 2.
Oh, yeah, you win first. Number 2.
Number 2 for me, another movie. Another movie based on a comic book, but a lesser-known comic book. Okay. Do you have any idea?
I'm going to go with the Shaquille O'Neal movie.
No.
Shazam. Stop.
No, not Shazam.
Okay.
This is another one that when I see it, I
you want to
kind of want to get it.
You're drawn to it.
The Rocketeer.
Oh, yeah. I love The Rocketeer growing up. I think this would totally hold up.
Yeah, that's why it's my number 2. And so just today, after I put it on my list when I was preparing for this episode, I went to Des in my Target gift registry for our wedding, and guess what I added? The Rocketeer.
If I get it for you for your wedding, can we watch it together sometime?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
live blog it.
Yeah, so it came out summer 1991, but it was actually based on a comic book that came out in 1983.
Yeah, there's Nazis in it and everything.
Yep, lots of Nazis. And interesting fact, directed by Joe Johnston.
Who did Captain America.
Yeah, and worked a lot with Star Wars.
Yeah.
So
his best days are behind him.
Yep, that's true. So if you want to know more about The Rocketeer, go do a little research. He is an awesome... it was a period piece, basically a World War II guy that founded a jetpack and did some good stuff with it. So, Ben, I am ready for your... Wait, let me stop for a second. Why didn't The Rocketeer ever get a sequel or at least a reboot?
Jennifer Connelly was in it.
But the main character was a guy named... Or the main actor, Billy Campbell?
Yeah, he was in the 4400.
Oh, yeah.
He's the bearded guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I was like, what's that guy been doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Timothy Dalton? James Bond, wasn't it? Alan Arkin? Terry O'Quinn? Played Howard Hughes.
Oh, we got to watch this movie. I'm getting it for you for your wedding.
Wow. This is awesome. I'm so glad that I had the idea to put movies on my wedding registry.
That's a great idea.
This is going to be so mad when we get every movie I requested.
Who needs microwaves and whatnot?
This is going to be great. All right, perfect.
That's the benefit of being a little married, older when you're getting married, because not a little married when so that'd be bad. But like, you know, Annie and I moved out into our apartment 2 months before we got married, and she had lived in a college dorm for a year, and other than that was just living at home till she was married, so we didn't have anything, so our registry had to be stuff we actually needed. But like, you and Des have both lived alone, and
we're doing it's kind of weird. This is gonna be weird, but we're basically like, yeah, I already have silverware, but I'd like some new silverware that's ours. So I gave Ryan all my silverware. So I kept 4 knives, 4 spoons, and 4 forks to get past the wedding.
Yeah.
And now we're buying new silverware. That's
are
like,
you gonna give those to Ryan as well, or you think you'll hang on to them from
I'll probably throw them away.
No, you should frame them.
And just I could give it to him for his birthday.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So, yeah, I feel like you're right.
How's the old guy doing?
Well, we just got up just yesterday, actually. I haven't talked to him since we moved out. But I just want to keep talking about this for a second. So, like, I have a toaster oven right there. You can see it if you... But guess what? I put a new toaster oven on my gift registry because I think we just want a refresh, which is so stupidly American.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah, I could take a new toaster oven. Why not?
Yeah.
And guess what? I got one already.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, somebody sent their present ahead of time, and my new toaster oven is right over there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so
congratulations.
It's working.
I don't know. Can I look at your toaster oven for a second? Because I don't think I ever have used a toaster oven.
Well, you can look at it, but I don't know if it's going to be great for the air.
Well, I'll be right back.
All right. Well, yeah. Pretty good.
So do you like your toaster oven? I've seen them, but I've never used
them. You know how I eat a lot of pizza? That's like my favorite food. I don't like reheating pizza in the microwave because I think it gets squishy. But if you reheat it in a toaster oven, it's crunchy and delicious.
Can I buy your old toaster oven from
you? I'll tell you what, you can have it. You gave me your bike for free. I want to give you something.
Well, I didn't give it to you for free.
Oh, that's right. You made me pay for it, didn't you?
But I did want somehow, at the end of that conversation, wind up handing you a $20 bill while you walked away with the bike.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you can have it. Number one.
Number two.
Seriously?
We have a long tangent.
Number two.
Matt and Ben transaction on the air. Timothy Zahn's Thrawn trilogy.
I was just talking to a coworker about this yesterday. He found the full trilogy, all books, for $6.
Wow.
Good condition at a thrift store, and he bought it.
I don't think this would hold up, honestly. I'm not a big fan of the extended universe. I think it would probably be better than most of the extended universe stuff. At the time, I was just excited. There's more Star Wars!
Yeah.
You know, because at the time I read these, there was no extended... Yeah. There was a few books, and that was it.
I don't like the way the expanded universe is so oversaturated.
Yeah?
Because no one could ever jump into it. And
that would have to be all you read.
Yeah, you told me this on our first episode we ever recorded about Star Wars, which was... It'll be right now impossible for anybody to read every expanded universe book that there is.
Yep.
Unless you just stop reading everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have a job. I mean, it's crazy. So I feel this way about comic books also, even though I like superheroes still. And so you tried to say earlier, you don't think superhero comics hold up. I disagree. I think they hold up, but I don't.
Yeah, you're going to offer a little evidence.
But I don't like how they are currently doing things. I don't think you can... This is totally different than what I used to believe. I've changed my thoughts on this.
I know. That's right.
I don't think you can have a continuity that lasts from 1963 to 2013.
Nope.
And expect people to be able to jump in and just know what's going on.
Nope, you can't.
Yeah, and so that, even though I hate anime and manga on principle,
yeah.
I hate them, I do appreciate that they have stories that they tell and then they're done.
Yes.
That's enough.
Yeah, it's enough.
And so that's what I want. I'm fine with them continuing superhero stories, but let's see Marvel and DC start to tell shorter stories,
yeah,
with these characters, have them be self-contained, or maybe have one universe exist for a couple years and then start over. 5 years.
There you go.
10 years. 10 years is like even too much.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see a total game-changing shift in how we're presented superhero stories.
I agree. And that's why, even though you're nostalgic for them, they don't hold up.
All right, Ben, I'm ready.
Number one.
Number one is a movie that I've mentioned on the show before, a movie I don't own, but I also have on my gift registry. I'm not just bringing up things I want you to buy for me.
Maybe
just,
I'll get you this one,
just
too.
For the record, I don't want you to just buy me everything I'm mentioning, but you can check it out later if you want. Flight of the Navigator. I've mentioned this before, right?
It sounds vaguely familiar. Right, I'm going to Wikipedia.
1986 sci-fi film. This is one of those movies, and again, I know I've mentioned this in the show, but just for the sake of this episode, I recorded this off TV during The Wonderful World of Disney, and so I had it on VHS.
I remember The Wonderful World of Disney.
Yeah, and I've watched this movie over and over. You know, I don't get how kids can do that, because nowadays,
right,
I basically want to watch a movie once and be done, or watch a show once, except for Lost, and be done. but as a child, I watched this movie over and over and over, and I haven't seen it now since I was probably... I don't know. 9?
Sarah Jessica Parker, isn't it?
Basically,
Paul Rubens.
To summarize, it's kind of a mystery conspiracy. We don't quite know what's going on. There's a time travel alternate universe aspect to it, which I like. So basically, this kid gets...
lost for kids.
Well, not exactly. This kid gets... he falls in the woods, and when he wakes up, tons of time have passed. And it turns out he may or may not have been abducted by aliens.
Then he
meets a... AI ship that takes him on an adventure through time and space.
Yeah.
Makes an alien pet friend. It's a great movie. I mean, a kid Matt thinks it was a great movie. Yeah. I don't know if adult Matt would like it.
Who knows?
I'm afraid. And so I want to watch it again, but what if it sucks?
Don't do it.
No, I'm
going to. Your memories are better.
I registered it for it on my Target gift
registry. Oh, I'm not going
to
get
it. But you are going to get me a Rocketeer, just to be clear.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Maybe a pillow or something, too, to round out the gift.
And number one.
Most Stephen King novels. There's a handful.
Even The Stand?
No, that's why I said most, because there's a handful I have reread, and I know that they hold up. But there's a lot that, you know, when I discovered Stephen King around the age of 15 or 16 or whatever, I binged on all of his stuff. And because I had no taste, and it was cool, and I technically wasn't allowed to read them, I thought they were all awesome, and I don't know if they would hold up or not. I'm guessing some would, and some would probably be quite dreadful if I went back.
If you had to pick one that you're most concerned will not hold up, name it.
Oh, man. I remember liking the Tommyknockers. I don't remember much of anything that it was about, but I remember really liking it when I read it the first time, and that one is universally regarded as terrible. So I would probably not like that if I went back and reread it.
All right. As you know, I gave up on reading The Stand and picked up the audio book.
Yeah, how's that going?
Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
I'd say...
Chapter 2 yet?
Or? I'm on an estimated finish date of somewhere in 2015 at this rate.
But you like go jogging 100 times a week. Why don't you listen to it while you jog?
I should. Yeah. I listen to podcasts instead.
Oh.
But I should.
Yeah.
Because when you bike, you do...
I do audiobooks, yeah.
Oh, and I just want to give you a shout-out.
Yeah, you too, sir.
So this past weekend...
You did a half marathon.
Okay, so this past weekend, we both had some athletic events. You did 50-mile bike ride.
Half century, yeah.
So good work. I did a mere 13.1-mile run, half marathon.
Yeah, but that's still quite impressive.
So
I mean, running's hard, and I would not want to do it.
And you just got into biking this year, so good job.
I did. I started less than 2 months ago. I went on my first bike ride. And I barely managed 10 miles an hour and did 3.5 miles and came home nearly died.
And now?
Now I did 50. And then today I did my first mile under 3 minutes, which is averaging over 20 miles an hour for an entire mile.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fast.
Good work. Meanwhile, I ran my slowest half marathon of my life.
That's okay. I thought you'd retired.
I had kind of, well, I didn't retire. It's just that I was running a lot for the last 3 years. And then this year I got engaged and busy and wedding planning. And so I barely trained.
Yeah.
So that's my excuse.
Yeah.
But so I'm basically going to, I'll do a few runs in the fall and then be done. And then next year, coming strong, I'm thinking about doing my third and final full marathon.
Don't do it. Get into biking instead and do biking.
In case listeners don't know, I've run two marathons and I kind of want to have a trilogy of marathons.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then just be done. And then I can still run, but no more marathons. Just that's enough.
That's enough.
No oversaturation with the running.
That's enough.
But I'm also going to get into biking. Des likes biking. We're going to, it's going to be good. So
I'm going to oversaturate. I'm doing another 50 miles on August 3rd.
I'm ready for your number one.
Most Stephen King novels.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Runners up.
I guess, I didn't highlight correctly. Runners up.
Do you have any runners up?
I have a bundle.
I have one.
Okay, you go
first. I want to do my one. The Adam West Batman series.
No. Why is this?
Because I haven't seen it.
This holds up.
I haven't seen it. I've seen just one episode, and I didn't think it was all that great, so I'd have to watch more, but I don't think this would hold up.
I can't wait to talk about this sometime today.
Okay. Okay. So it's going to be on your next list.
Okay, go ahead.
Your runner's up, sir.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, my gosh. That's not going to hold up.
Might.
No, not a chance.
Really liked it. The TV show that started out black and white and then became colorized, Lost in Space.
Won't hold up.
A TV show starring Jessica Alba before she was famous.
Dark Angel.
Dark Angel by James Cameron.
I never saw it. Could hold up.
Yeah. I remember it being conspiracy-ish, kind of interesting, futuristic, dystopian. Got canceled too soon.
Yeah.
My next runner-up, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, cartoon and movies. Now, was this on your...
The movies were on my suck list. Okay. And I don't need to revisit them to establish
I don't know that. If the cartoons can hold up. Do you think they can?
My kids are watching them right now.
Really?
Yeah.
You have the DVDs or how are they watching it?
Annie's getting them through Netflix. They're not on Instant, but she's getting the discs through Netflix. So maybe I'll have to sit down and watch a couple.
Okay, yeah, check it out. Let me know. This one is another one, just like Roger Rabbit, just like Batman from 1989. The Neverending Story creeped me out.
Oh, yeah. I never saw it.
You should watch it. It's fantasy-ish.
It's got like that big dog.
Giant flying dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
messed up.
I don't know if that will hold up.
What a bunch of false advertising.
I think I shouldn't have put it on my nostalgic four. It just is one that, as I was looking over past things that you know, from our childhood, it jumped out at me, and I have some pretty vivid memories of watching it, but it freaked me out. So I'm going to take this off my list.
Okay.
And finally, there was a cartoon. It was like a combo G.I. Joe and Transformers cartoon. It was called Mask. Does this ring a bell?
It doesn't.
I should have done a little research for you. So
that's
okay. Well, Mask is basically it's a unit of people that have
masks
and
oh, did I know that was coming?
Also are fighting bad guys. So let me just read you this description. It's I also should say it is an acronym. Obviously, maybe not so obviously if you can't see what I'm looking at. Mobilized Armored Strike Command with a K. They really wanted to make the word mask.
Yeah. It's a tough choice. You spell mask wrong or command wrong.
Interestingly, it's based on a series of action figures, and we know how that works out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Not good.
A total of 75 syndicated episodes of Mask were broadcast from 85 to 86, one of many cartoons during the 80s as a vehicle for toy merchandising.
There's no way this would hold up.
It was a hybrid of G.I. Joe's and the Transformers.
Not going to hold up.
It's a special task force featuring an array of characters led by Matt Tracker, with transforming vehicles engaged in an ongoing battle against the criminal organization Venom, which is another acronym for Vicious Evil Network of Mayhem.
I love how these evil organizations put the word evil in their title.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's straight up with this. We're not going to sugarcoat
it. There was an
emphasis
on superpowered masks worn by the characters in the show.
Oh, okay.
It was never made clear what sort of criminal organization Venom is exactly.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. They're evil.
They were not.
They're about mayhem.
They were not the typical world-conquering villains, and their schemes mostly revolved around profiting from illegal activities and doing mercenary services.
Well, that's okay.
Vicious, evil network of mayhem.
Yeah.
It's
exciting.
All right, Ben.
So we do our number on our big list.
So this is the most important one. This is the one that we... So we're going to argue that these do hold up. So here we go.
Yes. fact, I'm convinced of it. All five of mine I know hold up. They're brilliant.
Welcome.
You really think
to
so?
The Sci-Fi yeah. Christian
hands
countdown.
Down
on the Sci-Fi Christian,
featuring Ben DiBono
and Matt Anderson.
Mine, I don't know. I'm not convinced necessarily, but I think they do. For
okay,
me,
okay, okay.
I'll take the first one.
That's not good. That's not a good sign.
I'll take it.
Five.
Number five for me. We mentioned it last week, so it was fresh in my mind. The Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Oh, those don't hold up.
Now, quality of literature. Listen, quality of literature, not necessarily high, yeah. But concept, amazing.
Not really.
Original. What else does this? Nothing.
Thankfully, nothing.
Only real life.
Video games kind of do this.
Oh, yeah.
Should get into role-playing games.
So Choose Your Own Adventure.
That's like the entire premise.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
So I think that this Choose Your Own Adventure book, even I love them as a kid, read most of them that existed. I bet that they would still hold up, at least the concept, in concept.
Yeah, as role-playing
proof
games,
of concept.
Not as a book.
All right, number five.
Five. I'm starting with a video game, Doom, as well as Doom 2.
Doom, starring The Rock.
No.
There's a movie starring The Rock.
Yeah, not the movie. I'm talking about the original okay. video games, which are awesome. I just played them all 6 months ago or so.
What's the premise of Doom? You're a space fighter?
Yeah, you're on a moon base, and they open up a portal, and demons come through.
Why don't they just not open the portal?
They didn't know that it was going to do that. I mean, if you're a scientist, you're experimenting with a portal, you don't think it's going to go to hell, but sometimes it does.
Interesting.
So eventually you have to go to hell and kill all the demons. And I mean, the plot is paper thin, but it's about, you know, awesome level design.
And it still holds up.
Yeah. And there's so much fun
to play. Are there new versions?
Well, yeah, but those aren't as good. Like Doom 3 was so-so, but I'm talking about Doom and Doom 2. Those are the classics.
Nice.
And they're great.
All right.
Number four.
Number four for me, a video game. You're going to be surprised. Oh. Not Mario Brothers. Not Mario Brothers, not wrestling.
Sonic?
No, I didn't really get into that.
Yeah,
I did play it on Game Gear, but yeah. Not too much. No, I don't even know if you've heard of this game. Have you heard of Bubble Bobble?
Well, I think I've heard of it. I'm not familiar with it.
Bubble Bobble I know holds up because I recently purchased it on the Wii store, and I've replayed it. So this is a great story. Ryan Cirillo and I, as children, would play this Nintendo game, and basically the idea is they're...
Oh, yeah, two little guys.
Two little dragons, and they shoot bubbles from their mouth, and so the premise of each game, there's like a small level similar to like a Donkey Kong level where you don't really move around too much, it's just you move up the screen, but in this then, you have to capture all of the villains with your bubbles that you blow at them, and then pop the bubble. So once they're encased in the bubble, step one, encase the villain, step two, pop it, and then you kill them. So you can't move on to the next level until you encase every villain. And it gets gradually harder and harder based on the different obstacles that come your way. And then we've never beat this game. We went through all 99 levels, got to level 100. And
quit.
We can't figure out the trick. We just were playing it maybe... Actually, it might have been last year now. But yeah.
I'm going to get this and play it.
I know it holds up because
sounds awesome. I love old school games.
Yeah, twin bubble dragons.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome.
If you want, you don't have to buy it. You can play it with me.
Oh, yeah.
No, you can't. It's me and Ryan's thing.
Okay.
All right.
No, but he doesn't live here anymore.
Do you want to hear the description?
No.
First released in 1986.
Okay.
And later ported to numerous home computers and game consoles. Oh, it was an arcade game first.
Yeah.
The game stars the twin bubble dragons Bub and Bob. What?
I think that tells us everything we need to know about the plot.
Yep. 100 different stages, blowing and bursting bubbles, dodging enemies.
How could you give up on level 100?
We didn't give up.
Go Google it.
We just couldn't figure it out.
Go Google it.
We're not going to cheat like some cheater.
Go cheat. It's better than not finishing it.
Yeah, I don't think I should read any more of this description.
Yeah, okay. Number four.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. I didn't know this. This is horrible. Oh, whoops. Misread. Okay. Listen, I just read this. The main goal of the game is to rescue Bub and Bob's girlfriends from robots. And I thought it said that Bub and Bob's girlfriends were robots.
Oh, my.
And I was like, ooh, this is bad. But
no. That is kinky.
Okay, next.
My number four.
Oh, it's also notable for being an early example of a game with multiple endings, which depended on...
Choose Your Own Adventure!
Which depended on a player's skill and discovering secrets.
Exactly! Choose Your Own Adventure right there! You don't need the books!
Ben is right.
That is... Hang on! Hang on, I gotta get to the music.
All right. Ben is right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
I am right.
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
I am right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
All of you who have disagreed with me, get in line, because it's a politics.
Guess what?
Time.
Yeah. Bubble Bobble was ranked 58 in the top 100 games of all time.
Nice. Okay. Nice.
You're number four. No,
Batman,
you're number...
Number four.
Yeah, number four.
Batman, the animated series.
This is one of my runners-up, and there's a bunch on my runners-up that I've talked about multiple times in past episodes, and so that's why I didn't include this.
So I have a Batman entry on each of my three lists. Oh, Batman Forever does not hold up. 60s Batman might hold up. But probably not. And the Batman the Animated Series is awesome.
Nice. I love animated series. I had the first season. I love the whole Tim Bruce universe.
Yeah.
No, is it Bruce Tim?
Who knows?
Either way, whoever that guy is.
Bruce.
I think it's Bruce Tim.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Really like Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Have you ever watched those?
No. I think they're on Netflix.
They just added them. I don't think you'd like them as much.
Probably not. I'm not as big on the Justice League.
Yeah.
Number three.
Number three for me is one. Now, this is my list of things that will hold up. However, I should say.
This list is not going well.
I should say, I just realized you were very confident about your list. And I felt like when I made my list of things that will hold up, I made it more like, I'm pretty sure this will hold up, but not like, I know this will hold up. Yours feel more like,
this holds up.
Like, I've tested it.
It's proven. Yeah, otherwise it would be on the other list.
Yeah, so, oops. I think I shouldn't have. Let me move this. Okay, I'll tell you what I have, and I'm going to add something else as my number three. I originally had some old cartoons I used to watch lumped together. Muppet Babies. And Tiny Toon Adventures.
There's no way Muppet Babies.
But the reason I think Muppet Babies would hold up is because it's pretty smart humor. It's not like did you ever watch Muppet Babies?
Like a couple times.
It's not the same as you expect from. It's called Muppet Babies, but it's
better than you'd expect from a show about babies.
Yeah, I mean, you know how Muppets speaks to the culture. Did you ever watch the original Muppets show, variety show? So Muppet Babies did the same thing, but it was almost more funny because it was coming from the Muppet in baby form. So that's that. Tiny Toon Adventures, similar concept.
Yeah.
Again, I think it was kind of smart for its time.
Yeah.
For kids, I mean.
Okay.
Thoughts?
I wasn't allowed to watch it.
What? Why not Tiny Toon Adventures?
I don't know.
Okay, so I'm going to replace this, though, because this should be a runner-up on my... I think it will hold up, or I don't know because I haven't seen it in a long time. So I'm going to move into that position.
Batman, the Animated Series.
I mean, I have that. I'm at runners-up. I have... should I just move Batman, the Animated Series, so we can just be done with it?
Do it.
Batman, the Animated
Series.
Oh,
yeah, number great three.
I've got some great runners-up. Just wait till we get to that. So Batman, the Animated Series. Been watching it recently. I did start to get a little bored with it because I've seen it before, and I kind of want to watch more fresh things I haven't seen. Like, for example, I'm trying to plow through Buffy and Angel right now.
Yeah.
And I want to be watching, I just started watching this past weekend, Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Upon your recommendation.
There you go. It's a good show.
And so there's things I want to watch.
Are you watching that with Dez?
Oh, she's already seen it. So I'm just watching it alone. Is that okay?
a little weird. Little iffy.
So just watched part of the first episode. Kind of long. But So it's hard for me to go back and watch things I've already seen, and even if I know I like it, I don't necessarily want to spend a lot of time on it. So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I can see that.
So, Batman the Animated Series, good, holds up, but I'm not interested in going back to it anytime soon.
Okay.
Your number three?
Yes. Mario. Super Mario Brothers, Mario World, Mario 64, all those great Mario games I played growing up. They are awesome. You can play them. You can replay them. They were awesome when you were a kid. They are still awesome now. These are some of the best games ever designed. They're just incredible amounts of fun.
I 100% agree. Although I haven't played them all, I love Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers are the best.
I agree.
Number two.
Number two, we won't have to talk a lot about because we've talked about in abundance, The Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah, there you go.
No way that this doesn't hold up. It's
great.
Loved it as a child. You've recently read it to your young child.
Yeah.
You liked it as an adult still.
Yeah.
I've still liked it. I've read it all the way through only twice in my life, actually.
Oh, my.
How many times have you read it?
Oh, I don't know. Bunch.
So, Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. You must read it. You have to read
this. You have to.
Number two for you.
Number two, Aliens. Specifically the second movie, Aliens.
Yeah.
Directed by James
Cameron. And you like this so much, we did an episode on it recently.
We did. It's so good. Yeah. And this one has special nostalgic value because the first time I watched it, I was home alone with my dad. And I remember him saying, now, if your mom comes home, we got to turn it off. So it's like that cool, I'm watching something I'm kind of not allowed to, but dad's cool with it type feeling.
That must have been awesome. I grew up without my father.
Painful memories.
How was I having a dad that you could do cool things with?
It was great, man. You should try it out sometime.
Oh.
That was terrible. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. That's cool.
Excuse me when I go cry in the other room for an hour.
All right.
You can do cool things with your dad now, though.
Yeah, we met now, so it's cool. All right. I'll take one number one. I like to bring that up in the conversation as much as possible. Like when, like at work, a lot of times people will be like, "Oh, I'm going to my dad's this weekend. I'm gonna go see the fireworks. Oh, that must be nice."
It's instant awkward.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how it translates to podcasts, but listeners, if that got really weird, let me know. I think it's funny, but I can see how it could make people uncomfortable. I'll take my number one.
Number one.
Number one for me is Batman 1966. One of my favorite shows ever.
Nah, that doesn't hold up that well.
I love Batman 1966. Oh, before I forget, and this past week, Batman 1966 came out with the first comic that you know about this. We covered it, that DC is going to be putting out some Batman 1966 comics digital first. Yeah. I bought it. And? It's like the first digital comic I've ever purchased. And they did something really awesome with it. Like, it's not just that you're paging through a comic as if you have a book in your hand. It's not animation. It's not, because I've seen those movies that are kind of like moving pictures. It's not like that, but there is an almost animation aspect to it. But I'm not really describing it perfectly. You just have to see it. It's not any sort of movement. It's more just how they change the picture. So like if an explosion happens, you're looking at the picture, and then the picture itself doesn't change, but an explosion is added to it. So it wouldn't. The only problem is it can't translate to trade paperback form when this eventually comes out.
Not well. They could have stickers.
I suppose they could have stickers.
And what did you enjoy the first?
I seriously loved it. Like, I out loud was laughing at things that were happening because they've got the 1966 Batman down perfectly. Yeah. The writing is perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm following this. Like, this is the digital comic I'm going to stick with. I haven't purchased any comic on a continual basis in recent history, other than I started picking up Morning Glories. Do you know Morning Glories?
Yeah.
Because I read the did we mention this on the show already?
Yeah.
Did I talk about how I read the first four trades? And so so Batman 1966, I can stand up for it. Good.
Okay.
Number one, Ben.
Number one, Star Wars, Lewis Tolkien.
No. That's not something.
Yeah, I jammed three things into number one because I didn't want my list to just be repetitive of things I've mentioned before. So my number one is Star Wars, Lewis Tolkien. And that's Star Wars original trilogy only. And of course, Chronicles of Narnia and Lord of the Rings, which you're not nostalgic for.
Mm-mm.
It's your own loss. But I read The Hobbit when I was like six and read Lord of the Rings by the time I was 10. And so I'm quite nostalgic for those, and they're still awesome.
Star Wars original trilogy was on my runners-up. But, yeah, there was a few things I didn't want to bring up because we brought them up so many times.
Yeah,
so
Star Wars, Lewis Tolkien.
Yeah, I like what you did. That was good. I agree with with those choices.
It was just one choice, Star Wars, Lewis Tolkien.
What is your favorite of those three?
Oh, Lord of the Rings, easy.
It's
not even close.
Oh, we didn't cover this on our last news episode, but they're projecting what Star Wars 7 might make.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're basing this on.
Lots of money.
But they're saying it could make $1
billion. Well, yeah. I mean,
How much did Avengers make? Did it not make $1 billion?
Well, it depends. Worldwide, it did. Lots of movies make $1 billion worldwide now because we like to waste money on crap.
Okay, listen to this. Person who's good at like generating numbers and estimates and looking at the box office across the board is saying $1.2 billion in global box office revenue. And even more from consumer products such as toys and games.
Yeah, I mean, probably. It'll probably break a billion worldwide. That
doesn't seem like a very hard prediction. I mean, how big? I mean, a billion's a lot of money. I understand that, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good choices. Runners up.
I have no runners up because I don't like very many things.
Sliders, runner up. I know it holds up because I watch it. Quantum Leap, not as. That's a little tougher.
That one's iffy.
It's medium hold
that
up.
That one's iffy. It
medium holds up.
Should be on your other list.
The Spider-Man Clone Saga?
That doesn't hold up. It's regularly listed as one of the worst comic stories of all time. That's like pure nostalgia. That's the only reason you like it is nostalgia. It's not good.
Star Trek The Next Generation?
No.
Back to the Future?
Wait. Back to the Future 1 and 2 I will give you. There is no way that you actually think Back to the Future 3 is a good movie. That's a terrible movie.
Independence Day?
Wait, no, no. I want to hear you talk about Back to the Future 3 and justify that being on this list.
Back to the Future 3 is a classic Western with time travel.
No, it sucks.
You can't have 3 without... No, you can't have 2 without 3.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. I would have preferred it.
It completes the story in a strange and peculiar way.
It's terrible. It's an awful movie.
Strange twist.
It's an awful movie.
Interesting story choice, but...
It was an interesting story choice to suck.
But still, I'll take all three. All right, next up, Independence Day.
Not going to hold up.
Jeff Goldblum, Will Smith. Mario Brothers.
You actually, Jeff Goldblum, Will Smith is some magic formula that instantly makes things good, and it... No.
If those two were together in a movie, I would see it. I don't care what it's about. I'm going.
Okay.
Mario That's Brothers?
Disappointing.
X-Men from 1992, the animated series.
I'll give you that.
And that is all. Okay, here's what I want to talk about as we wrap up.
Okay.
And I asked you this question by Facebook, just so you're prepared. Why? How does nostalgia affect us so strongly? Why is it that if we like something as a kid, we can't help but like it as an adult? We can't stop liking it.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, that... We're obviously information psychologically, mentally, I guess those two are kind of the same, emotionally, every way as we're growing
intellectually.
Up. Intellectually. Yeah, and so we're forming our tastes for things. We're forming the type of things that we like. And some of those things that suck, they gave you a love for things that are actually good that you enjoy now. For example, I put Terry Brooks on my list. Well, he's a terrible writer, but he helped cement my love of fantasy, and I've gone on to read, things like George R. R. Martin that are actually good, partly because of experiencing Terry Brooks as a child. Yeah. So I think that that's a lot of it just has to do with formation, and then there's also a maturity level. I mean, my kids are 2 and 4, and they love Dora the Explorer. They're not going to like that when they're older, but they like it now because they're immature.
But they might look back and be like, that was cool. I mean, I know it's not good, but that was cool.
Right. You can have fond memories.
Marketing departments are using this.
No, it's terrible.
And not just in TV, but in lots of different areas to get lifelong fans. So, I mean, I don't know if this is an urban legend or if it's true, but you hear the things about cigarette companies aiming at children. Because if you can get kids to like smoking, you can get them basically for the rest of their lives. Or... Worked. Sports teams a lot. Let me try to think of, perfect example. Dez, she grew up in South Dakota, didn't have a football team. So in South Dakota, you can kind of pick any team you want and just root for them. So she randomly chose the Seattle Seahawks. No reason. One day she decided that was going to be the team she'd cheer for. So that was as a kid. And now today, that's her favorite team.
Yeah.
Even though we're living in Minnesota, we love the Vikings. Seahawks is her number one team just because she did as a kid. I mean, you can just see it in all these different areas where it affects our lives.
Last week, 4th of July, fireworks.
Yeah.
Fireworks suck so much. They're just the worst.
Well, why do you think they're the worst?
What's the point? It's like you're watching an explosion. Hooray.
Yeah.
Oh, now here's another one. And another one.
It's sometimes beautiful.
And another one for a half hour. I put up a little rant about fireworks on my own Facebook page, and I liked Mickey's comment, one of our listeners. He said, abstract art for rednecks.
Oh.
He hit the nail on the head. But so I'm sitting there on the 4th of July night, and my kids, wow, that's so cool, because they're colorful and bright and loud, and exactly the type of things kids like. And so the value as an adult is getting to experience it through the eyes of your children. Or if you don't have kids, the value is that you were once a child who liked big, bright, shiny things that were loud, and so there's a nostalgic value. Beyond that, fireworks suck. If you never saw fireworks till you were an adult, you would look at them and think these are stupid after the first minute.
I just realized another area where this affects us, family traditions.
Oh, yeah.
If you start doing something, and we mentioned this a little bit on the marriage episode, but if you do something as a family when you're young, you kind of want to continue that and bring it into your own family as, like, you've started a family with Annie and I'm about to start a family with Dez. You know, not right now. We're not pregnant. This is not an announcement, but
congratulations.
Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be things that I'll kind of want to continue that I've just always done because I've done it since I was a kid and I have to just continue that way. Yeah. This is a weird phenomenon.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, kids who their moms do drugs when they're in the womb. They get bored with a drug addiction.
I'm going to cut you off there.
That's where the conversation went downhill.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah. Oh, we got more.
It's a trap.
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 Maybe that last example wasn't the best.
Almost forgot. We got some great listener feedback on this, so I'm going to go ahead and read through this. Max, he was nostalgic. Or so my question of the day was, what sci-fi things are you still nostalgic for, even though you know it isn't high quality? So why don't we take turns, Ben? I'll start. Max said Little Monsters, starring Fred Savage and Howie Mandel. Never saw this. Did you?
No. I got to get to it, so you read the
That's
next
fine.
One.
Jeff Schaefer wrote, Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Easy. I keep having to talk myself out of buying the series because I know it won't be as good as I remember. Good. Good work, Jeff.
Still loading.
Travis wrote, the Next Generation episode Rascals. That's very specific. But, okay. Nice.
Voltron, Mike wrote. Bought the series on DVD. Rewatched them all. So deliciously awful.
J.S. Earls. Well,
this is awesome.
Getting a little sassy. Said, He named the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Hey, that's our podcast wife you're talking about.
But he went on to say Robotech, which he mentioned to me on my Facebook not too long ago. Flash Gordon movie. Thundar, which I've never heard of. The Herculoids. No idea what that is. Star Trek Next Generation. Buck Rogers. The video game Bosconian.
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
And he says, I don't know why, but I really dug that back in the day.
Transformers G1, so says Ethan.
Colin McRoberts writes, Star Blazers, early anime I watched as a kid, watched some recently, and it's horrible.
Maybe he was watching Superbook.
Oh, I love Superbook.
Yeah. We might have to look up some of those on YouTube.
For real.
Yeah, full episode. Scott writes, Image Comics from the early 90s, a movie called Ice Pirates. Don't watch it. I will not.
I'm surprised to hear you didn't like Image Comics. I mean, I'm not surprised that from the 90s, but that was like the heyday for Image. Josh Blakenship says The Explorers, The Last Starfighter, Flight of the Navigator.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, but he said he doesn't think it holds up. Daryl and Short Circuit.
Yeah.
So between Rocketeer and Flight of the Navigator, you think that Rocketeer is...
Oh, there's no question.
Okay. Well,
that's like not even close.
That was amazing. Okay. Yeah. So, well, thanks for everybody that wrote in. And now for real, that's all from here.
Yeah.
I'm Matt Anderson.
Don't do drugs if you're pregnant. I'm Ben DiBono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Or if you're not pregnant, goodbye.
Signing off.
Just wanted to clear it up.
I think that was a good clarification.
Yeah. Drugs are bad, okay?
Getting late? Do you want to still do that third episode?
I don't know.
It's up to you. You can make the final call.
I'm tired, and I would like to go home.
Okay.
But
I mean, I just feel bad because you produced a great song. I don't want to put
it. Would it be a long episode?
We've never done one before, so we don't know.
Let's wait. Is that okay?
That's fine. So
we kind of had a late start anyway tonight.
So we did two episodes tonight instead of three. So sorry that we lied on previous episodes. Yeah. So we'll be coming out with that top 50 sooner than later.
Yeah. But if we start at the normal time next week, we could do three.
Absolutely. Well, that's all from here.
Goodbye.